Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford Blood Center. Stanford Blood Center is a proud supporter of KQED and encourages you to support local patients by donating blood. Learn more at bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. For more than 30 years, bicyclists in Idaho have been allowed to treat stop signs as yield signs. And some San Francisco cyclists want that to become the law here in California. Earlier this week, a bicycle activist group known as the Whig Party staged a protest on the popular bike route, the Wiggle, to call for the change. And they also want to protest stepped-up enforcement of the full stop law by city police. Should cyclists be allowed to roll through stop signs? Joining me to take up the debate is Morgan Fitzgibbons. He's program director of the Whig Party and helped plan this week's protest. Welcome, Morgan.
Thank you.
And also with us is Denny Klein. He lives by the Wiggle and says cyclists should follow current California law that requires them to make a full stop at stop signs. Denny Klein, welcome.
Thank you.
We also invited representatives from the San Francisco Police Department to join the discussion, but they declined. We certainly hope our listeners won't decline to weigh in on this topic. And I'd like to open the phone lines early, as I imagine people have a lot of thoughts on this. If you'd like to tell us where you stand, give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum at kqed.org, or you can post them on Facebook or on our website, kqed.org. You can also tweet us at KQED Forum. Morgan Fitzgibbons, I want to start with you. You've been quoted as saying that the requirement for cyclists to come to full stops at stop signs is absurd. Why is it absurd?
Well, it's absurd because it's not required for the safety of a bicyclist. You know, in fact, there were for 50 years, there were bicyclists on the streets of San Francisco before a stop sign showed up. And, of course, they weren't coming to full and complete stops at every intersection because it's just not necessary for their safety. A bicyclist is a different beast than a 3,000-pound car. It can stop much more easily, is much more maneuverable, and is much less dangerous if a collision actually occurred. So the actual reality is that that's what bicyclists are already doing. 95% of cyclists are already treating stop signs as yield signs, and it's perfectly safe in our city.
You say it's not required for the safety of cyclists. What about the safety of drivers or other pedestrians?
Sure. I serve on the Pedestrian Safety Advisory Council, and absolutely, if it weren't safe, you would be hearing about collision after collision after collision after collision between bicyclists and other modes of travel, and that's simply not the case. There are hundreds of thousands of instances every single day in San Francisco where people are treating stop signs as yield signs, and there are no issues.
Have there been studies that say that having cyclists yield is actually safer than coming to a complete stop?
Sure, yeah, of course. When Idaho instituted this law in 1982, people studied the effect. The result was the next year, collisions were down 15%. There are a few reasons why that would be. First is it makes the actions of cyclists predictable. Currently, the law says they have to stop at stop signs. Nobody really does that. So right now, the action is unpredictable. So if you make it law what they're already doing, people will know this is what's happening. Second of all, it allows for police to actually ticket and enforce a reasonable law. Right now, the attitude from the park station is, we're going to make sure you stop at every single stop sign. That's just simply unreasonable. If we change the law to be common sense, we can actually enforce the bad behavior that does exist, which is about 5% of bicyclists. And then also, you would create a situation where cyclists would be sort of self-policing. We would say, now when there's a bad cyclist, what do we say? Hey, I broke the law too, but you did it worse. We can actually get that number of 5% of bad cyclists on the road down to 4 or 3 or 2%.
Denny Klein, you're a resident who lives near the Wiggle, the popular bike route. Does Morgan Fitzgibbon's logic hold up to you?
I've been a resident of the Wiggle area for 34 years. 4 years ago, in an email to my supervisor, Scott Weiner, I pointed out that in that time period, the Wiggle presented the most detrimental issue to the quality of life in our neighborhood. The Wiggle between Scott and DeBose, which is basically Pierce, Waller, Steiner, and DeBose, are all one block areas with a four-way stop at every beginning and end of each block, all with right and left turns involved. It's a densely populated residential area of the Wiggle with a lot of pedestrian traffic, people with children and strollers, people with dogs and other pets and packages, whatever, crossing the streets at all hours. We have observed time and time again far more than 5% of bicyclists disobeying current laws and actually common sense laws. They certainly do not yield to bicyclists do not yield to pedestrians the way the law, either the current law or even the Idaho Bike Code, suggest.
Would you support the Idaho law that treats stop signs as yield signs for cyclists then?
There were also specific parts of that law, even the stop sign, that require yielding by stopping and assessing the situation before they yield.
Well, let's clarify. Yielding would mean, and this is my understanding of it, is that you are slowing down as you approach a stop sign and then continuing to go if the coast is clear. Is that?
That is correct. So under the Idaho stop law, cyclists would approach the intersection, slow down, assess the situation, and if they can go safely, they're allowed to go. If there are other people who have the right of way, whether they be pedestrian, bicyclist, or car, they're required to stop or slow long enough for them to clear the intersection and continue through.
And actually coming to a complete stop on a bicycle is putting your foot down on the ground and actually stopping the vehicle.
Well, there's actually no requirement to put your foot down on the ground. If it were, cars would have to follow that requirement as well, because currently they're following the same law. So there's no real requirement to put your foot down. The requirement is to completely stop your momentum.
Not that that's in the language, but I just mean a full stop for a bicycle involves
fully stopping your momentum. Oftentimes it's easier to put a foot down, but it's not required by law.
I see. You know, all of this came to a head, right, Morgan Fitzgibbons, when the San Francisco police announced they'd be stepping up enforcement of the law. They'd be ticketing cyclists who don't come to a complete stop. So what has been your interaction with, you mentioned the Park Station District, which is the main district office, which is covers the Panhandle and Haight neighborhoods here in San Francisco. What has been your interaction with them? What have you heard from them in terms of why and
Sure. Well, the Park Station has a new captain, Captain John Sanford. He showed up in April, and this was kind of his big sort of first movement was to crack down on bicyclists. I have not been able to attend the public community meetings at Park Station because the Pedestrian Safety Advisory Committee that I serve on has a meeting at that exact same time. And unfortunately, SFPD has not been able to show up to those meetings despite their requirement to be there for the last 6 months. So I haven't personally engaged with Captain Sanford or other officers, but we've experienced these crackdowns in the past. They've never done a single thing to make the wiggle safer, and we launched this action to show if you really want to make this your main goal, to make sure bicyclists stop at every single stop sign, what you're going to get is a bad situation. And in fact, a really dangerous situation, because cars are going to be backed up and they're going to do really dangerous things. And that's what we saw on Wednesday night. Lots of really dangerous activity by cars being frustrated because bicyclists were following the law.
So that's what you were demonstrating Wednesday. Was that demonstration compelling to you, Denny Klein?
It was. They created a completely artificial situation. They were holding bikes at Steiner and Herman until they had 100 or 150 bicyclists to move en masse to the next intersection where it was their epicenter at Waller and Steiner. So that amount of bicycles would never be moving at one time in one block. And actually, from observing it, spending the time to be out there during the entire stop-in, we observed that by actually obeying the law at the stop at Steiner and Waller actually improved the flow of traffic on the Wiggle on Waller and Pierce, because it meters the flow of bicycles. And if they all were stopping at the required stops, it would meter the flow of bicycles and create less of a jam on the Wiggle.
I want to give our listeners a chance to weigh in. Let's go to Rod in Foster City. Hi, Rod.
Good morning. I'm the heavy bicyclist down the peninsula, where it's really great to have the cooperation between the cars and the bicyclists. I think if our real goal here is the safe and expeditious flow of traffic on the road, both bicycle and car, then that should be the criteria for finding out whether this is a good idea or not. The bike is inherently unstable at low speed. Stopping and starting is the most dangerous part of getting a bicycle rolling, and it also delays cars who have to wait for this slow bicyclist to stop and, in most cases, put the foot down and then continue through the stop sign. So everybody would be a winner if we were to enact the Idaho stop.
Rod, thanks for sharing your thoughts. I'd like to go next to David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a driver for an executive car service, a professional one. I don't work for one of the ride shares. I've been driving for a rather lengthy period of time, and it's countless the times that I have encountered dangerous situations with individuals on two wheels. That does include motorcycles. The driving habits of these individuals is just unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. And one I'm going to present to you now is a situation which recently happened. Coming down a hill on Alamo Park, coming to a stop sign, I had the legal right to make a right turn. I had my window rolled down. The bicyclist, who had to have been 75 to 100 feet behind me, and it's a long hill, was yelling, "Don't turn, don't turn, don't turn," at the top of this person's voice. This person had no intention of slowing down, let alone stopping.
David, thanks.
If I had turned, I would have been hit by him, but yet I probably would have been responsible.
Let me give Morgan Fitzgibbons a chance to respond to that. Morgan,
sure.
Fitzgibbons?
Yeah, no one's denying that there are certain people out there on the road who are on a bicycle who are not acting appropriately. We have actually done studies, not anecdotes, not hearsay. We've actually gone out and looked and counted. And we estimate that the number of people who aren't following the spirit of the Idaho law is about 5%. We work very hard to get those people to change their behavior. We've enacted, you know, lots of actions. We recently did a wiggle referee action where we tried to shame people because we didn't have the law on our side. We just wanted to shame them for being bad riders. We also have done daylighting actions to try to make it safer for people to just make good decisions on a bike. But the thing I want to touch on is that this gentleman certainly had a bad interaction with a bicyclist, but he doesn't remember the 19 other times when bicyclists behaved perfectly appropriately. And the other thing that I think is important to point out is we've got 1,000 people every year in San Francisco who are hit and injured or killed by people in automobiles. And we have 18 people that have already died this year in San Francisco at the hands of drivers of automobiles. So that we freak out that this one person maybe didn't act fully appropriately on a bicycle, and yet we totally ignore the systematic carnage that we see every day on our streets from people in cars is really troubling to me. And so we want to get that person who doesn't do a good job on a bicycle to do a better job. This law will help us do that. And we want to have safer streets.
Thanks, David, for the call. Let's go to Dolores in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Dolores.
Good afternoon, folks. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I'm a cyclist. I'm a runner, jogger, walker, and a driver of a vehicle. I also have two young adult drivers in my home, so I've gone through getting teenagers, you know, getting them ready to drive. And I would say that for us as cyclists or joggers or walkers, we are sharing the road, and I have an expectation that we abide by the rules of the road. And it's not convenient to start and stop when you're on your bicycle and you're rolling through town. But honestly, if we're going to share the space and we're going to expect motorists and automobiles to yield and be considerate of cyclists and pedestrians, I expect us as cyclists and joggers to stop at stop signs. It's consistent. It's practical. I know the difference when I'm driving in the country or on a bike trail that I can roll nonstop because I know the terrain and I know the area. But I know and I conduct myself very differently when I'm driving in the city and there are lots of intersections and lots of cars and people turning and walking. And I don't expect to get a dispensation and a pass because I'm on a bicycle. I expect to stop. And
Dolores,
I stop for my own safety.
Dolores, thanks for the call. Here you have a cyclist, Morgan Fitzgibbons, who says that cyclists should stop, come to a full stop.
Sure. There are a handful of percentage of cyclists out there who do believe that cyclists should follow the rules of the road. They're called vehicular cyclists. It's a very small percentage, and there is no place in America or around the world where the prevailing culture of cyclists is to stop at a stop sign as a rule. That's just simply not how it's done, and we should follow Idaho and actually legalize the behavior of bicyclists.
A listener writes, I've ridden a bike in San Francisco for over 25 years and always believed bikers should be able to treat stop signs as yield signs. Bikes have less visibility limitation and do much less damage when they hit something than cars, unless going at near full speed. Even then, not likely putting anyone in mortal danger. The biker takes the biggest risk and should be allowed to. Another listener writes, allowing the yield is safer for everyone. It allows the cyclists to use a bit of forward momentum to reaccelerate and clear the intersection more quickly. Motorized vehicles can accelerate from a complete zero momentum stop more quickly than bicycles can. And another listener writes, the reason bicyclists feel that police are overzealous on ticketing bicyclists is because cyclists do not follow the road rules. And after demonstrating that they have nothing but disregard for road rules, they want those road rules relaxed for them so that when they careen through intersections, it becomes the driver's fault for hitting them. That's not unlike the concern that was raised earlier, I believe, by David. You mentioned before, Morgan Fitzgibbons, that you feel like police should be prioritizing other things besides ticketing cyclists. Denny Klein, do you feel like in the city of San Francisco this should be a high police priority in terms of, you know, watching for riders who don't stop, make full stops at stop signs?
The police came out with a statement this week and said only 1% of traffic tickets in the city of San Francisco are issued to bicyclists, which means 99% are issued to motor
vehicles.
Actually, 4%
are for pedestrians, right. So 95%.
In our area, which is a condensed residential area with a lot of pedestrians, yes, it needs to be enforced because we have clearly witnessed much more than 5% not obeying, even yielding to pedestrians in crosswalks. I'd also like to respond quickly to Morgan's statement about the percentages of accidents between motor vehicles causing accidents and bicyclists. A study in the UK last year, which I have with me, found out that cyclists are almost as likely to injure pedestrians as cars. The one factor that has been left out of most studies is the distance traveled between motor vehicles and bicycles. Once that factor is put into the equation, the actual incidences between bicycles and pedestrians and motor vehicles and pedestrians is almost identical.
Morgan Fitzgibbon, some of the frustration that those who oppose the Idaho stop and would like to see bicycle riders stop at stop signs has come from, you know, there was the death of an elderly man in 2012 by a cyclist who blew through a stop sign.
Yeah, well, he actually was determined that he actually ran a red light, although it was questionable whether he did or not. Yes, and that was tragic, and I am not here to defend Chris Boucher. He was a jerk, and he was part of that 5%, and he was in the wrong. But we have 18 people that have been killed by automobiles on our streets today. Who knows any of those people's names, you know? So this is just an example of the one incident where somebody was killed. And there was actually somebody who was killed by a bicyclist a couple years before that. So there have been about two in about 15 or 20 years that we know of. Meanwhile, there's clearly a higher priority, and that is the daily carnage that we see every day on our streets from people in cars.
On Facebook, Charles writes, a stop sign is a stop sign. All traffic must stop. If cyclists wish the courtesy and respect as auto drivers, then they need to observe and obey all traffic laws. Christian writes, the only reason the system has worked at all is because bikes usually don't come to a complete stop when they don't need to. If San Francisco is to expect biking to be a viable portion of their transit policy, they can't base it on routes that only function if everyone breaks the law. Bikes can seriously alleviate traffic in a city with limited space, but only if they're given the tools to legally do so. Otherwise, we're all in for a major traffic jam. Mary writes on Facebook, most people I know who want to see riders stop aren't drivers, but pedestrians, including disabled people who are frustrated with riders who barely even slow down at intersections. If there were a way to enforce a slowdown and yield and right-of-way to pedestrians at crosswalks, I think a slowdown would be reasonable, but that's a big order. Morgan Fitzgibbons, you know, do you think that bicyclists may have an image problem? And I ask this because I feel like this comes up a lot. I've done other interviews, you know, with members of the San Francisco Bike Coalition, or, you know, there was the statement by London Breed a while back where, you know, she mentioned that she felt like it would be easier to get things passed that are supportive of bicycle riders if, you know, there was better sort of public relations.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's really amazing. You know, I just mentioned all the destruction that we see every day on our streets from automobiles, but we're here talking about bikes. And I've tried to figure out why that is. There's been some studies, and it's interesting. The number one problem that people have with bicyclists is that they get upset that they don't stop at stop signs. And if we could change that, overnight relations would improve dramatically. And so this is just asking for a common sense law for safety and for making better relations and safer streets. And that's all we're asking for.
Danny Klein, do you think that's the main reason that there is that frustration and tension?
I think there certainly is that a sizable element of that in the frustration. But I'd like to point out a few of the things in the Whig Party's open letter to Captain Sanford of Park Station that I understand was
quickly,
authored
please,
by
sure.
Morgan. Referring to the opposition or part of the opposition as anti-bike bigots certainly doesn't serve to do anything but alienate people making a decision.
But that doesn't mean they're not over-the-top anger for
I think
ridiculous
the word bigot
reasons.
Is quite strong in
sure.
that condition. And also,
accurate,
there are statements in your letter that I don't know if you have documents to back up them, saying that all too often people actually act out this not at all veiled fantasy by purposely running over cyclists.
Sure. Just a few years ago, a driver in a car ran over four bicyclists purposefully. You know, it happens all the time. It's called road rage, and it happens every day.
But you're saying that your statements actually say it's happening more because of this crackdown.
Absolutely. Tempers are flared.
So have more people been purposely run over?
Well, we've been here for a few days, so
we'll
see.
And that's definitely not something that's going to be definitively answered. But we do have I'd like to go to some of our callers. We do have a lot of folks who want to weigh in on this, including Hal in San Francisco. Go ahead, Hal.
Yes, I live on the Wiggle. I've lived in this neighborhood for 23 years. And there's two things. One is I have noticed that I think particularly at the corner of Steiner and Waller, there are more bicycles being considerate of pedestrians. But I want to point out something, and that is the police are not there because they want to be there. The police are there because of citizen complaints. And the complaints have been about the danger of trying to cross these streets at certain intersections and the rudeness of some bicyclists and the danger that we all feel. And the fact of the matter is, if more bicycles were obeying, even if the obeying was yielding to pedestrians, then the police probably wouldn't be there because people wouldn't be calling. So there is a problem, and one way or another, we have to figure out how to solve that problem.
Hal, thanks for your observations.
Sure. Yeah, there is a small problem. Not a small problem. There's a small percentage of bicyclists that are creating a problem, and we want to make that problem better. And the best way to do that is to pass a law that regulates and normalizes the behavior on the streets so that we can go after those people that are causing the problem.
A listener writes, why can't the existing stop signs be modified with a special cyclist sign? The default would be for cyclists to yield at all stops unless a cyclist stop sign was posted. Is that something you have talked about, Morgan Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I mean, the legislative solution is up for our legislators to figure out, and that's why we pay them. I think that there's some people working on that right now. It's a bit of a tricky issue. It is a state law. We do have this thing in California that allows for cities to be what's called charter cities that allow them to sort of make their own rules on certain issues. Traffic has always been one that's not really held up in courts for probably good reasons, because if every city had a different law on everything, that would be pretty confusing for people traveling around. What they can do is pass laws determining what their law enforcement should be focusing on. We've seen that with marijuana. We've seen that with immigration. We can do that in San Francisco and make our streets safer tomorrow.
So what are your next steps in this, Morgan Fitzgibbons?
We're going to work with our legislators to get some to get a piece of legislation on the table. We're going to work with pedestrian organizations to get their support. And we're going to continue to do all the things that we've been doing. We're pushing to daylight every intersection in the city so that you can actually see when people are there. There are a lot of common sense things that we've been working on for years and years that we would be glad to have the mayor's support and catch up to the future here.
Danny Klein, what would you like to see, you know, the Whig Party cyclists who want to change the California law to the Idaho yield law do for residents like you?
I think what Mayor Lee said earlier this week after the stop-in was that we're open to discussion, but we're not going to be bullied or belittled into caving into a decision. We want to discuss rationally any decision that's going to be made, and opposing sides should be faced in a civil environment where they can have a viable conversation and not just posting comments online or not having any personal communication.
I mentioned earlier that the San Francisco police officer, Officer Sanford, declined to join us, but he did supply a statement. Law enforcement officers enforce the law, not regulate traffic congestion. Additionally, should the legislation pass to adopt a similar Idaho stop law, we will, of course, enforce the new laws. However, under our current law, there's no difference if a handful of cars decide to roll through a red light or stop sign versus a handful of cyclists. Victor writes on our Facebook page, I would love it if cyclists would slow down enough for a sufficiently safe Idaho stop rather than shooting through the intersection as if no one else matters. An Idaho stop would be an improvement over the reckless status quo. Daniel writes, I am a cyclist in San Francisco. More than often, even when I am marking the stop, the motorist signs me to go ahead anyway, sometimes in a frantic, impatient gesture. Let's go to more calls. Let's go to Jeff in Redwood City. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. You know, from a perspective of a first responder, whether it's a pedestrian or a bicyclist, the people who get hit, it's usually 50-50. It's usually half the car driver. It's usually half the bicyclist or pedestrian. And San Francisco has a particular problem because it's very dense. You know, I'm a bicyclist. I've been hit three times. And the cause has been people who just don't see the bicyclists. And the other part of this is that people don't signal soon enough when they turn. So people are having rolling stops. Well, people who drive cars, including all of us listening, don't signal soon enough either. The loss is 100 feet. Take a look every day how many people signal 100 feet. You're going to find out that practically nobody does it. But if you're a bicyclist, you need to be able to see that so that you don't ride next to somebody trying to turn right.
And thanks, Jeff. We'll have to leave it there. Responsibility all around is basically Jeff's point. We were talking with Morgan Fitzgibbons, bicycle activist and program director of the WIG Party, named for the San Francisco bike route, the Wiggle. He'd like to see cyclists required to yield, not stop at stop signs. I'd also like to thank Denny Klein for joining us, who lives by the Wiggle, and he says cyclists should obey California law requiring full stops at stop signs. Thank you so much to our listeners for weighing in on this issue. Forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauberg, Vinnie Tong. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producers are Amanda Stupai and Rebecca Bowe. We had online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. I'm Mina Kim. Thanks so much for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.